Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Thankful for this opportunity to be able to stand.
Thank you, Lord.
We in our country today are in an unprecedented time, the likes of which my generation has never seen. Mm-hmm. I'm sure maybe some of our grandfathers and grandparents and those that are older have seen similar times, but it's unprecedented for me. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that is constant in it, in a world of uncertainty, is a certain God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
A God that is supreme in all things, who's perfect in all things.
That's right.
That's the one thing that we can count on today is being constant.
Amen.
Amen.
Today, if we're not grounded and founded in that constant God, we will find ourselves at a loss. We will find ourselves in a panic.
Yes.
We will find ourselves looking and thinking of things that would terrorize our very soul if we would allow it.
Yes.
But it's in times like these when we find our fast and we find our hold in God and we anchor there, knowing in whom we have our very being, that we can rest assured and find peace in these uncertain times.
Yes. Amen.
I'm thankful for the way that God works. You say, preacher, how can you say that nowadays? But my God is omnipotent and all-powerful. And He's perfect, and His will is perfect.
Yes.
But a few weeks ago, Brother Dustin asked us, before all this coronavirus came about and before we were all confined to our homes, Brother Dustin had asked us if we would come. And the Lord brought this scripture to our hearts almost the exact time that He told us. And some of my favorite scripture, and I love how God works these things out. If you'll listen to the truth this morning of God's word, it can encourage you, it can uplift you. But we'll be reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. We'll just be reading one verse this morning. It'll be the 28th verse. Romans 8 and 28.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
To them who are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we bow our unworthy heads this morning, God, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you bless your word. God, use your servant for just a little while. Let us step aside, dear Heavenly Father, and let your truth be made known. God, I pray for the hearts that might hear it. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, if there be any out there, dear God, that don't know, dear God, that are unsure this time, God, I pray that this truth would touch their heart, dear Heavenly Father, and that their eyes would be open to an almighty God. We pray now, bless this time, dear God. Give us clarity of mind and of speech. But most of all, dear God, we pray, let your name be exalted and uplifted. For it's in Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This scripture in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it is a one of my favorite scriptures.
Sure.
Yeah.
Amen.
I lean on this one. Uh-huh. I don't know about you, but I lean on this one.
Yeah.
A lot. I lean on it a lot. It has been proven to me in my life time and time again as being true that all things, it don't matter whether it's good or bad, all things work together to the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
It amazes me how people can go about sometimes and don't have this hope. This is a scripture that will give you hope, that will build you up,
Amen.
That you can hold on to at times just like this.
Amen.
No doubt people have gone through a lot of things in life and we question sometimes why things happen this way. I've witnessed it in my own life, Tommy. I've watched my parents lose everything they had, and I sit there and I thought, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? You know why I think He allowed it to happen? Sometimes to prove to me that He was God above all. And all things work together. Yeah. No matter if it's good or bad, it will work out
to
the good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Psalmist David wrote Psalms. He said, I was once young and now I'm old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. That's God. That is a promise that we can hold to. That is something that we as God's children can take and get through these trying times.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Jesus told his disciples in the 14th chapter of the book of John, he said, peace I leave unto you.
Amen.
Peace not as the world gives, but I give. People try to find peace in all things and all manners of things in this day and time. They'll hoard up food. They'll hoard up this thing. They'll hoard up this thing trying to prepare for the outcome. But last God, you don't know what's coming. We didn't know this outbreak was going to happen. We didn't know this pandemic was going to happen. But you know who did? God did. There wasn't any time and any part of this that God was surprising any of it.
Amen.
Amen.
But bless God, all of this will still work out to the good to them that love the Lord.
Amen.
Well, preacher, there's people dying everywhere. Yes, bless God, there are. There's people that are tore up, people that sorrow. But let me give you one good thing about this. If they were saved, guess what?
Amen.
They have gotten their reward.
Amen.
It has worked out to the good for them.
Amen.
Whether it be good for you or not, it has worked out to the good for them.
Amen.
I was thinking about this as the Lord brought this scripture to our minds, and as we began to ponder on it and begin to go through the Word, there's examples all throughout the Bible that prove this to be true.
Yes, obviously.
Even if you haven't ever experienced this yourself, you can open up the Word of God and find time after time after time of the example of how good things and bad things worked out all in all together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. When I got to thinking about this, and as God began to open our eyes to this and begin to build this message, I went over into the Old Testament. God led us over into Genesis. You can start in the 37th chapter of Genesis. And it starts talking about Joseph. And you're introduced to Joseph. I hope I can get this out in 30 minutes. But let me tell you, you can start with Joseph. God brought me back to that spot. Joseph was favored. If you haven't read this scripture, I encourage you to go back into Genesis in the 37th chapter and begin there and just read on through. But you start there and you're introduced to Joseph. And Joseph was one of the younger sons of Jacob. And as we get down through there, and you see as Joseph was favored by his father doted on him because he was a son that was given to him in his old age. And he began to give him gifts and he treated him differently than he did his eldest brothers. And he gave him a coat of many colors. And his older brothers were jealous and envious of his position and how much the father loved him. And they had gone out to watch their sheep and to gather their flocks. And his father sent him out. He said, I want you to go out and see how it fares with your brethren and bring me word. They saw him coming from afar off. They saw that coat in many colors from a great distance away. And they said, here he comes. Here comes daddy's boy. And they all started plotting together. Let's just kill him and get him out of the way. One of them said, no, let's put him over here in the pit. We'll sell him into slavery. He had planned on going back and getting him out of the pit. But after they had contrived together and conspired together, they took him and kind of fell upon him as he came near them. They put him in the pit, took his coat from him, rent it, and they sold him into slavery. Went back and told the father, they dipped the coat in the goat's blood and they brought it back to the father and said, look what's happened to your son. And the son, the father mourned. I'm talking now. The Bible says that he rent his clothes and he girded his loins in sackcloth and repented and mourned over his son. He went to his grave and he mourned his son. But little did he know that his son was not dead. He didn't have any idea. And during all this time, now let's keep in mind, this man was 17 years old. This young man was 17 at this time. And after he was sold into slavery and taken away, you can go on and read how he went into Potiphar's house. And he became great in Potiphar's house, and how Potiphar's wife had tried to lead him on and attempted to lay with her, and how he'd run, and she had sent everybody after him telling him he'd tried to lay with her and all these things, and he had to run. Well, Father, he was caught and put in prison. And there, while he was in prison, he found favor with the jailkeeper. Jailkeeper brought him in and put him in a special place there in the prison. Now, I tell you, a lot of us today, when we get into that position, I ain't never been in jail. I can only imagine how that would be for somebody to be bushwhacked by their own brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery against your will, and then find yourself in jail all while trying to do the right thing. He was trying to do the right thing when Potiphar's wife came to him and tried to lay with him. He wouldn't have none of it. He shunned her and ran away from her. Never once had he done anything wrong, but yet he still found himself in prison. But while he was there was a baker and a butler come in. Spent a lot of time in his prison waiting on the butler and the baker to get there. Now, what you say, you can go back and read this thing and see how God's hand was in it throughout the whole thing. But I'm telling you right now, Joseph didn't see that. He did not notice how God's hand was working. And as he comes through that, he see that he interpreted the dreams for the butler and the baker. And he told them both, he said, remember me when you go back to Pharaoh. In 3 days, the butler was raised back up to his position at the right hand of Pharaoh, being his cupbearer. And 3 days later, the baker was dead, just like he had prophesied in their dreams. He had interpreted their dreams and told them just exactly what would happen to them. And it came to pass. And he told the butler, he said, remember me when you go back to Pharaoh. Remember me. And we find the butler, he forgot all about it when he got up there to Pharaoh. It was 2 more years before the butler ever remembered him. Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh had called all his magicians and all his wise men in to try to find the interpretation of this dream. And it troubled him so. The butler, being at his right hand, saw how distraught that Pharaoh was. And he cared for Pharaoh. He remembered then Joseph down at the jail. He said there was a certain Hebrew that was down there. He interpreted my dream and he interpreted Baker's dream. And they both worked out just like he said. He is God. God speaks through him. He is God's chosen. Go get him. 2 years later, he had brought him out of there. The whole time Joseph had sat there, and I guarantee you, he wondered to himself a lot, why am I in this position? As a lot of us today, we're in the position that we're in, and we go, why are we in this position? Let me tell you one thing. God had that whole thing worked out for Joseph. The same God that brought Joseph through all that, bless God, he is taking care of me. He'll bring me through this, whether I live or whether I die. Hey, bless God, it'll be for gain. But as Joseph, as he came up before Pharaoh, Pharaoh told him his dream. He said there was 7 fat kine that came up by the river and grazed in the meadow. He said then there was 7 skinny kine that came up. These were cattle. And there were 7 skinny cattle that came up and devoured the 7 fat cows, and they were still poor. He said, then there were 7, there was a stalk of corn that had 7 fat full ears. And then there were 7 stalks that had been beaten by the east wind, and they were skinny and they didn't have anything on them. And he asked him, he said, Joseph, interpret for me this dream. He said, God will answer you. It ain't me. He was sure to tell him, it ain't me. That was the thing about it. He was clear with Pharaoh. He didn't make no bones about it. He said, it ain't me, but God will tell you the answer. And as he began to ask him, he said, he began to interpret the dream for him. He told him, he said, the 7 fat cows represent 7 years. The 7 skinny cows represent 7 years, all coming back to back, and told him the same thing for the corn. He said he gave you this vision because it was doubly important. He gave it to you two different times in two different ways because it's doubly important.
Yeah.
He said you're going to have 7 years of great, great gain where your harvest is going to be plentiful and everybody's going to be fine and happy. He said, and right after that, there's going to be 7 years of famine and desolation, and it's going to be so bad that the people will forget about the 7 good years that they had before. And he told him, he said, he gave it to you in two different ways because it was so important. He said, God has spoken to you, Pharaoh. You need to take heed of this.
Yeah.
So Pharaoh then, he saw Joseph as being right. He gave him position at the very, and I'm talking the very same day that he came up out of prison, he was given the second most powerful man in all of Egypt.
Yeah.
Pharaoh told him, he said, you're going to sit at my right hand and I will be the only one over you. He said, I'm going to have you take charge of all this. He said, I want you to take charge of all the grain, all this stuff. You're going to handle it because God has chosen you. So Joseph then took care of everything. And for the next 7 years, Joseph brought in, stored up in preparation for what God had promised would happen. And during that time, and after the 7 years of greatness, and after he had gathered up in all the storehouses, all the corn that was extra, then the 7 years of famine come. And as they begin to deplete their storehouses and all these things, how God continued to bless Joseph in so much that people from outside of Egypt were coming to buy corn from him.
Yes.
And now we see the same brothers that had sold him into slavery some 10 years, 13 years earlier, because the Bible plainly tells us that he was 17 when he went in, and at this time he was 30. So there's 13 years between there that he'd spent in captivity,
right,
wondering what all this thing was going to happen, why it was happening, the way it was happening. God was fixing to make it clear to him.
Yeah.
You see, what he had done, he had pulled Joseph in this position so that he would help to sustain his family through these hard times. Now, what was happened to him was evil, and what happened to him was hard. But it all worked out for the good of God's people. Let's get this straight. Let's see this for what it is.
Amen.
It worked out for God's people.
Amen.
Joseph's family were Hebrews. They were God's chosen people. He had done all this and put Joseph through all this for the simple fact that he could take care of his family and all of these other things. And Joseph then finally got to see his dream fulfilled that he had told him and got him in trouble with his brothers to begin with, that they'd all bow down to him. Because Joseph had taken a wife of Egypt, he had sons. He'd been there 7+ years. They didn't know who he was when he came in and they all bowed down to him. And then they finally realized later on who he was after he brought his father and all of them in and set them up. We don't know what is happening here.
Right.
Ain't none of us do. I ain't going to pretend to try to be some type of prophet. I ain't no prophet. I have no idea what is going to happen. But there is one thing that I know, and that's God's word is true above everything else. The President of the United States can stand there right there across from my glass and try to tell me something goes against this word. Bless God, I'm going to believe him over this over him.
Amen.
Every time, 1,000 times, out of 1,000, I will believe this over what anybody else, no matter who it is, tells me.
Amen.
Yes.
My God left it clear in his word.
Amen.
Time and time again. I might not understand God's sovereignty and what he's doing.
Amen.
There's one thing that I can guarantee is that his will is perfect.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And if we're a child of God, we might have hard times. And we might come up into things that we don't understand why they're happening the way they're happening. We might begin to wonder, why, God, are you putting me through this? But there's one thing that we can count on if we'll get in the Word of God and begin to read it.
Yes,
God, it's going to work out for me in the end.
Yeah.
No matter whether it be good or bad, God's still going to prosper and bless his children.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So that's the key to it now. That last bit of that scripture, it tells you plainly, called according to his purpose. My God will take care of his children.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So bless God, you've got to be one of his children.
Yeah.
He's not going to take care of a strange kid. He'll take care of his own.
Help us, Lord.
If you ain't one of his today, if you're sitting out there and you don't have any hope, you have no idea. There's a lot of people in this world today that are scrambling. Mm-hmm. They're running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. Simply because they have no peace.
Yeah.
No peace whatsoever. That's one thing that I don't have to worry about.
Amen.
I have peace.
Amen.
And it don't come through my goodness. It don't come through what I've got stored up. Yeah. It ain't got nothing to do with my ability. I'm just like Joseph.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with me.
Amen.
It all comes from God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Simply because I have put my faith, my trust, my hope, my very soul in the hands of an almighty God.
Amen.
Amen.
I've given it to him. I'm trusting in him. And he'll see me through. Today, if you don't have that trust and you don't have that hope, I beg of you today, if God has spoken to you and you realize that there's hope outside of this physical world that you're looking for, let me assure you, it is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the only place that you're going to find true peace. That is the only place in this world that you're going to find any type of comfort.
Amen.
That's the only place in this world that you're going to find any type of anchor for your soul. And that is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this hour. We thank you most of all, God, for your word. We're thankful for its truth. And for the fact, God, that you left it here on purpose for us to use, your God, to reassure us, God, that you are always there, that your will is perfect and all, and that even in the bad times, we can still praise you because we are your children. We pray now, God, if there were any out there this morning listening, God, that don't know you in the free pardon of sin, I pray, Lord, that this word touch their heart. If they're out there looking for peace, dear Heavenly Father, and can't find it, I pray, dear Lord, that they seek your face this day before it's eternally too late. For it's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.